Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to a very special episode of The Paula Price Show with your host, Dr. Paula Price, author of The Prophet's Dictionary and Before the Garden. Tune in and tell a friend. Join me in welcoming Dr. Paula Price.
Well, good evening. It's Tuesday night, and that means it's Apostolic Christian Night, and I'm glad to be here. It's wonderful to be here this evening. I've been enjoying this series, and from what I could tell from your posts and your social media responses, this is going well. So I'm glad. If you haven't told your friends, your family, your apostles, your prophets, your members, your pastors, why don't you take a moment right now and just let them know that the Paula Price Show was on Tuesday night, and we're talking about discipling apostolic Christians. And the goal is to make you understand apostleship from the pew to the pulpit as opposed to how we've been teaching it. Well, we've been on a journey, and it's been wonderful, but listen, I have instructions from Prophet Ashley. You know, she can't let me go anywhere without some instructions, so she gave me some tonight, and she's instructed me to encourage you all to stay on till the end, because we have it's a gift of the night. If I said it wrong, she'll write it. It'll be great. You know, we'll do fine. And so if you want to find out what tonight's gift is for tuning in, then you have to hang on in there until the end. So that's wonderful. I've got some other great news, which is where I'm going to focus the majority of the teaching tonight, and that is we're in the month of March. And March means that the book, ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians, will be released this month. As a matter of fact, it's only a couple of weeks away. So I'm sure that if you go to my website, they'll tell you how we can order, take pre-orders. We're releasing it first as an e-book, and then after that, we will put it in print for you to use with your churches, your ministries, and your trainees, wherever that is. So, not long, just keep watch, and you'll be able to get your copy of ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. So now, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about apostles finally reproducing after their own kind. The premise of my teaching has been that we've been attempting to get the apostles in place. We've been attempting to get the body of Christ to receive them. We've been attempting to accomplish a lot of things. However, it's been slow going. Now, why has it been slow going? Well, because we've done a real good job of encouraging the apostles and those entering the office to learn it, understand it, and to become comfortable with it. But we haven't taken you. And so many of you are wondering, well, what is it all about? So you'll follow your pastor who's gotten a promotion, and a lot of people just reconcile, well, my pastor just got promoted, or my prophet just got promoted. And so, you know, hallelujah, I, you know, love the man of God, love the woman of God, staying with him because this is where God put me. But you really don't know the power that is happening in you as a result of them obeying God. When your leader steps into the sphere, something different happens. And when it first happens, if you aren't well trained, it is not all positive. But if we're trained and if everybody's on the same page, it is a powerful move. God can move. You can grow. The heavens open. Whole other thing happening. And so that's why we're doing these Tuesday nights, so that you, the body of Christ, who is the one, you're the ones that have to go to your friends and your neighbors and sit at the lunch table at work and try to explain to people what kind of church you go to. And it's not very easy for you to say, well, I actually go to, I go to a church, it's apostolic. And if you say apostolic, people immediately think, you know, Jesus only. Well, that's not it, not here. And so we talk about that. I introduced that a little bit last week. We're going to cover that again a little bit this week just to catch everybody up to speed. But you have to find out more than it's a church. When you are in an apostles' church, life is different. Life is not the same. Just by virtue of the stature of that office, as much as we like to say that God doesn't make any difference and the Holy Spirit doesn't make any difference between ministers, the facts don't bear that out. When people step into that office, life changes. And if you step into it prematurely, you step into a hotbed of problems, trials, and tribulations. If you step into it underdeveloped, you meet the same thing. As a matter of fact, if you're underdeveloped, you're not only going to have the trials and tribulations, but you're going to have a mass exodus out of your house. Heretofore, people have had that. You get into it, you know, stand up, we've talked about it before, and we're going to be apostolic. We're shifting to the apostolic, and it sounds really wonderful because new sounds good until new happens. See, now you know that was good. New sounds really good until new happens. See, new in your mind is exciting, it's enthusiastic. Doing something new, particularly if your church was in a stuck place or your organization was in a stuck place, because churches aren't the only thing, it's just the apostolic businesses do too. You know, enterprises do as well. Other ministries and organizations do too. And it has to do with the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ that your ministry focuses on. And that's what we're going to discuss a little bit with you tonight. So, it's all exciting, and then we settle down because, you see, we talked a little bit about last week about how every minister has an angelic delegation, angelic guard. You have helpers, you have guardians, you have warriors, supernatural angels, agents that see to God's success. I know it seems like it's all about us, but trust me, you know, sad thing about how we've taught God over the last several decades, at least since I've been saved, which is my goodness. Whew, I'm like 35 years in this thing. And so the way we teach God is all about God being Papa Daddy, just looking out for us, taking care of us. He's Daddy at home in the armchair. He's there sitting there waiting for us to come home, jump on his lap, you know, go through his stuff, wreck his house, and then get a pat on the head for it. That's how we really present the Lord. We don't present him as God Almighty. We don't present him as a sovereign Almighty God. We don't present him as maker, creator. We don't present him as judge, developer. We don't even present God as if he has any responsibilities outside of us, each one of us, individually. Now, why is this important? Because to become apostolic Christian, you have got to see God in a different light. I did an article on Facebook last year, and somebody just dug it up again, and it says, spend a day in God's office. See, God has an office. He's the consummate of all offices that he has handed out. Now, spend a day with God outside of household, outside of dinner and games and homework and prayer, devotions, private altars, and give me happiness and let me do what I want to do. Spend a day in what God has to do. I always tell my sheep when I'm developing them, I say, sit down and spend some time figuring out what God does after church on Sunday. And what does he do from Sunday evening to Saturday night? Because it's that part of God that we don't get. And it's that part of God that has people us drawing swords against each other about what God will or will not do, what he likes, doesn't like, how he thinks, how he doesn't think. And so God has duties. God has responsibilities. God has obligations. Listen to me, because this is important. If you're going to be an apostolic Christian, that's the one thing you need to know is that's grown up Christian. That means that you're not just dealing with daddy at home. You also realize you have become a member of the family and obligated to the family business, the family trust, the family obligations, the family success, the family legacy. That's very different. And that's not what you hear a lot today with the saints, because we've been under this evangelical model of winning souls, saving souls, and keeping souls, and churching souls. Because we've been under that model for so long, we don't realize the other things that come along with being born from above. Oh, that's real good. And when you get your book, text that goes with this, Discipling Apostolic Christians, there's a whole section on what it means to be born from above. You know, we call it born again, which is why the world could just kind of pimp it a little bit, but it wasn't like that in the beginning. In the beginning, it was born from above. We are born from above. That's real powerful stuff. And that's part of the discipleship. As you begin to take this into your world, you should know that. But let me not get ahead of myself. When you leave this evening, I want you to remember God has responsibilities. Nobody tells you what God's duties are. They don't tell you what God's responsibilities are other than his obligations to you. I don't want to know about that. All I know is that I just need my prayer answered. I don't care about that. I just need my kids saved. I don't care about nobody else getting saved. I just need my child saved. I just need my husband changed. I just need my house. I just need my job. And because of that, you realize that we have ripped the fabric of unity that bonds us together and makes us powerful in the earth. Our country is fragmenting on individuality. Well, that began with the church. The church began because as the spirit, so goes the natural. So we are the ones that introduce all of these little doctrines you don't like, all of these philosophies. So they started out as church doctrine, and they ended up as secular philosophy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit, just a few minutes. Let's talk about what is God obligated to do. The first thing God's obligated to do is to make sure his word doesn't fail. Now, we want to know about his word not failing with us. Wonderful. It's good to know Jesus cannot break his word to me. That's marvelous. I love it. Great. But you know what? He cannot break his word to the people who are yet to be born. See, God has got to do this thing and keep things going until the last soul to be born in planet Earth has an obligation or opportunity, rather, to say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, or I do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He has got to watch over his word, not just to this generation. Do you realize how crazy doctrines like Jesus has already come and we missed it? First of all, if that man already came to my mystery, boy, when I see him, we are going to have a little chat. Because I'm serving you and you are in the past tense. I don't want a past tense, Jesus. And so all those crazy doctrines that we have, they come because we are dealing with God as individualists. Not as his body, not as members of his eternal family, not as members of the first civilization of all creation. That's also in your book. When you get your book, you're going to love reading that, how Christianity comes from God's first civilization before any other civilization was even envisioned. There was us. For we were in Christ before the foundation of the world, before the powerful defining line that defines us and divides us from all the world religions. We were in Christ before the foundation of the world. We did not need an angel to say there's going to be some Christians. Okay? We did not stand all that. We didn't need all of that. We were in Christ. This thing was in play before we got here. And so I need you to understand the first thing God is obligated to do is to make sure his word to the future doesn't fail in the present. So there are a lot of things that we say that God or God ought to be able to do. I love it when the saints say, well, God could do it. God can do it if it doesn't break his word. There are many things that we're putting God through the test on that won't work. For example, when Satan took Jesus to the mountaintop and said, throw yourself off a cliff because, you know, the angels are going to catch you, we have to assume that the angels had heard from the Father to catch him if he did it. Because if he threw himself off the cliff because it wasn't in the script, because Jesus lived by script. That's what it means to live by the word of God. He lived by the script. He said he lived by every word that was written and told by the prophets concerning him. He fulfilled the word. So if it wasn't in the script that he should leap off the cliff, then the angels couldn't help him. So now he would break his father's word. So there are some reckless things we do, we feel God has to do because we see ourselves as the most special thing that he has. You understand, God gave us eternal life. If he didn't give us anything else, he's covered his bases. He may lose your flesh, but he's out for your spirit anyway. So the first thing he has to do is see to it that his word doesn't fail. The second thing he has to do is see to it that there are provisions and providences for every generation until the end of time. So he cannot, that's why when we bankrupt a generation or bankrupt an era, there's nothing. God doesn't give us anything else. You know why he doesn't? Because he has already allocated what we are supposed to leave behind for the next generation. That a lot of you are, well, you know, so-and-so gave me, they gave me an inheritance and I went and spent it or whatever, but if God gave it to me once, he could do it again. Well, that's a very foolhardy approach to future stability because God does not have to do that. He allocates for every generation. He allocates for your kids. He allocates all of that. Now, we don't see, because people don't teach us that, so we tell you if you just run up there and throw some coins in the bucket, you put God on the hook. Now, so this man has an economy. Dispensation includes economy. Wasn't that good? Dispensation includes treasury. Look it up. It's the treasury of an householder, not just a period of time. So there are things that we have to think about as apostolic Christians that we are supposed to know. We're to understand. God has to make sure that everything that he's given and needed to is functioning in synergy with everything else. You know he's a sugar pie Jesus, isn't he? See, it takes big people to deal with a big God. Little people deal with an idea. Big people deal with the real. And so that's part of why we're doing this. We're doing this so that you can get the best out of God, but also so that he can get the best out of you, because apostolic Christians have a reciprocal mindset about God. It's an exchange. Oh, come on, somebody. It's not about daddy. It's not the teenage years. We're not in the teenage years with my way or no way. I raised teenagers. I shit, Abel. Ooh, they way out. But it's all about them. But when you hit to a point where you have matured, the first thing you care about is what goes on with the whole. As long as it's just about you, you're a baby Christian. It's just about your kids, your house, your job, your car, your marriage, your this, your that. No, because God needs us to cover his bases in the planet. If you are writing this down, I want you to write that down, because that's a very profound statement. God needs us to cover his bases in the planet. He covers us, and then we're to cover him. Now, you know, that's really good stuff. Now, why do you know that? God, besides, that makes no sense. You want to bet? You want to bet? You know, I'm not a woman given to frivolous words. I'm not a woman given to show-off words. I don't need to show off. I am so committed to being good at this that I don't have to exploit anything, because I'm committed to his righteousness, and I'm committed to his truth, but I'm committed to showing God off. And that's what we're supposed to be about, showing him off. So I want you to understand, this is a really good thing. I want you to understand that as we go forward, we have got to be able to cover God's basin. That's why he needs you to fulfill purpose. That is why he needs you to fulfill your destiny. Because your purpose fulfilled and your destiny fulfilled, you being in the right place, you're covering God's basis in the earth. You're taking care of something. We like to teach about the anointed cherub. We like to say that Satan fell because he was the covering cherub. And we kind of think of Satan as this huge blanket or this huge tent hanging over the Almighty. That wasn't what he did. How else could he be on earth and heaven at the same time? But he was to cover God's basis. And he was right now he's covering God's basis. He's covering them for darkness, but he's covering them. And so God brought his church into existence to cover his bases in the planet. That's why he did this. So we like to talk about, well, he was the head of praise and worship. No, he was the head of everything. How else could he be the devil in the world? It's infinitely gifted beneath the Lord. How else could he cover all that's going on in the planet now and train his kids to do so? And give them the boldness, the arrogance, and the brazenness to rise up against the Almighty and to put death in place of life and darkness in place of light and poverty in place of richness and sickness in place of health. How can he do that? Because he's covering the dark basis. Now, we need to cover the basis of life. And that's our job. And so God has responsibilities. And so there are many things that you want. I don't understand why God let this happen to me. Why did he let so-and-so happen? Because when it comes to his word being pressed, come on, somebody, flow with me today. When it comes to his word being broken and you being put on hold, guess who's going on hold? I'm sorry, someone will get to you soon. Got to think like the king. If you're going to be God's child, then you got to think like him. And you're going to have to take the way he has to take. And that's what, you know, we get caught up in trials and tribulations. God gets trials every day. Every day he's tried. I thought I liked to be sound. I'm a big Christian. I thought God was good. He's not good. I thought he was, but he isn't. And he rolls on because he can't quit. He cannot put it down because he's given his word that the last person to come out of the last womb in creation has got to have an opportunity to receive him or reject him. His word cannot return to him void. See, this childish Christianity makes you think you can interpret God's word, but you can't interpret God's word without understanding God's duties and responsibilities, because his words are bigger than your needs. His life is bigger than your needs. So there are things that God just won't do, and there are other things he's going to make you hold on to. Hold fast. You know, and God's real good. You know, he feels like, I could tell y'all all of this, but you won't get it. So I'm just going to tell you, have faith, or my personal favorite, be still and know that I'm God. You know, the be still one gets us all. Come on, let's act like we understand. That be still one gets us all. And when God says be still, that means delay. He tells you to hold on, delay. Don't let him act be still and be patient. Oh, my God. You know, we're in trouble. He's not moving for a while. But you have to stop looking at the Lord as a sole proprietor. You all who are listening to me, if you're apostles and prophets, you're the first ones that introduce that to the planet. God is not a sole proprietor. Write that down. Come on and love on me. Love on me a little bit because, you know, we're getting ready to go to another dimension in the Lord. He is not a sole proprietor. God is not a mom and pop store. God in the back is Jesus at the register and the Holy Spirit in the stock room. God is an empire. God dominated his creation long before he said, let there be, or let us make. So God has to operate through systems. And the scripture tells you that if your churches would get back in them. The scripture tells you that. It tells you that he has thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. And all we want to know are the dark ones. We don't know the light ones. I hear so many Christians talking about dark ones, you know, writing whole books about demons. Who would train God's people in demons but a demon? Ain't nobody going to train you in demonology but demons. Think about that. But we have to train God's people in the truth. You know, a Jezebel prophet is what Revelation is talking about. And what did he say about Jezebel? He said Jezebel taught his people the depths of Satan. And half of us don't even know it. Hey, apostolic Christians, know the truth. You should know what is God. We're supposed to be the authenticators of God, aren't we? And apostles are supposed to tell you where God is and where he isn't, aren't we? Come on, answer me now. You know what's right. Come on and post that answer up and encourage my heart. That's our job. How are you going to authenticate something you don't know? That's why we're doing this. You and I are meeting every Tuesday night so that we can live up our role and cover God's bases and authenticate him. Your destiny helps God. Your purpose helps God. That's why doing somebody else's purpose is fruitless. You don't get any credit for it, and God doesn't get any benefit out of it. He'll get a little piece of harvest. The end. But you have to recognize who we are. When your church moves up, you move up. If you stay in that apostle's house and that person is truly called to be an apostle, then you got to be ready to be a big Christian. You got to put on your big girl pants and your big boy pants. And you have to stop wearing the little Velcro shoes and get some shoelaces. Tie them up. Stop having a rope around your waist and get a belt with a buckle. See, it's grow-up time. And it's grow-up time because God wants to give you a piece of the kingdom. It's easy to say, cheer up, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. But think about a king that's going to give his kingdom to an 8-year-old. His enemies are going to rule his kingdom till his kids grow up. Oh, does that sound like us today? Waiting for us to grow up, the enemy is ruling, plundering, and pillaging his kingdom. You know God's a sugar pine guy. Y'all still living on me today? You know? Hey, I bet you didn't notice I had about 3 hours of prayer today. Did you notice? About 3 good hours. And they were marvelous. And as you can see, I came back loaded. Yes, I am loaded. Loving on Jesus Christ. Love this man. So, for you to understand being an apostolic Christian, you must understand apostleship. For that to happen, your leader must understand apostleship and be able to teach it to you. Well, I made it really easy for everybody, wrote the book, so everybody can just follow this book. So let's look at how that's going to work. Hallelujah. Ah, the sugar pie Jesus. So welcome to local church apostleship training, discipling apostolic Christians from the pulpit to the pew. Hallelujah, because you're the guys, you're the people who have to say, what's going on? What kind of why do y'all do that? Why do you do this? How come you do that? And, you know, let me just say this. This is really at the end of the book, but you're going to love it anyway. Those of you who are under real apostles, you are so frustrated because you want them to act like pastors, and they're not doing that. They won't, because apostles are leaders. So you will never find a real apostle having a congregational rule church. That will never happen. The real apostle is not going to tell you I have to talk to the board, the council, and 3 other people. because they operate on the commission, and a commission is defined by the person who gives it. I want to say that again. Apostles, real ones. I don't know about some of the others. We got some crossovers, passovers, migrators, all right? I have nothing to do with that. I'm talking about the real apostles. Hallelujah. Operate on a commission, and a commission is defined by the one who gives it. So the first thing you need to understand in your church is what your apostles' commission really is. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know, that's good stuff. And that apostle, if somebody's going to come here and tell you you're going to cross over and be an apostle Monday morning, you got till Sunday night to figure out what your commission is. Because, see, the angels of God, the supernatural forces and agencies of God, they back God's commission because they're backing God's reason for putting us in the planet. And trust me, you may think that they will hang in there with you because they get all warm and fuzzy. Trust me, God does not have one angel that loves you more than that angel loves him. And they will abandon you. When God says stand down, they're going to stand down. When God says pull back, they will pull back. You can sit there and say, but I'm dying. Yeah, but we'll catch you. They'll send a replacement to catch you. But God's angels back God. Now, if you're going to write this down, that's a powerful phrase. They back God. And it's important that you recognize that because you hear all these dumb angel stories about these little naked cherubs running around. Those guys don't look anything like that. They are fierce and they are scary. They are also experienced. They've been around for like ever. Now, come on, how are you going to believe in an angel that can't even find an outfit to put on? You don't know if the angel is coming to be a baby or coming to molest somebody because he's naked. Come on. Hallelujah. God's angels back God. God's world backs God. See, that's why we feel abandoned right now as a church, because we have gone another direction, and the angels are like, hey, I'm following the Lord. I'm on the Lord's side. They're not going to back us. They can't. So I want you to get that, because, see, your commission is supposed to be backed by the angels that God assigned you. I think I told you the story once. I was in a major ministry. If I called the name, all of y'all would know it. I was in there, and they had a great, this was powerful work. God was doing great things. And I was sitting in the ministry, and everybody was running around the room screaming and shouting and frothing at the mouth. It was having a great time. I was sitting there, and it was dead as ice. And I kept saying, okay, God, so I know I got some Holy Ghost. I came in here with him, so I'm thinking he's still here. What is going on? And God opened up my eyes, and this ministry had been built on three huge angels that were well over 120, maybe close to 150 feet tall, and two of them left. And they went through the ceiling, and God said, I pulled back my glory on this work. And not long after, it was dead. So I'm telling you, they back God. Ah, hallelujah. And I don't know if that's God. Who got I told you last week, who got the apostles out of jail? Angels? Okay, you know our scripture. This is our apostle scripture. This is the goal. And I always like to revisit things. Good teachers revisit. Don't think you should get it one time. Should get the first time. Good teachers revisit to open their Acts 26:18, which is why God, Jesus Christ, met Paul on the road to go kill Christians. Paul had been killing some. He went on the road to go kill some more. Paul was literally, hear this, because when you read that account, Paul was following his commission. He was an apostle for the Sanhedrin, and he was following his commission. Look up the words yourself. And so he received a commission. Some of your Bible says warrant papers. That's papers of your commission. And so he was taking his commission, and his commission was to kill Christians. All right, apostles got to have one. Everyone got one. Everyone in the Bible had one anyway. I don't know about today. Maybe they got something else. I don't know. And some of them got something that I can't even understand, but that's between them and the Holy Ghost. So Paul gets knocked off the horse, and God, the Son, shows up to him and says, Paul, why you keep sticking me? Why are you pricking me? What's going on? What is it about me that's messing with you? And Paul gets converted, and God switches out his secular commission for his eternal one. So he has a similar experience because, see, the first 12 apostles, or the 11, they had a first commission, which is what they had under the old, and then they got a second commission, which they got under the new. So God gives Paul the commission, and he said, listen, I'm going to send you to the Jews and the Gentiles. They're going to treat you real bad, but then you've been killing my folks, so you'll be all right. He said, I'm going to send you there, He said, and I'm going to show you stuff along the way, and you're going to do a wonderful work for me. You're going to tell them about me. Paul is like stunned. Now, we like to think, gee, boy, wouldn't it be great to meet Jesus on the road? Not if you're killing his folk. Jesus is not who you want to meet on the road if you're killing his people. He's a different Jesus. And if he takes time to show up on the road because you're killing his folks, you need to understand that you are about to do Paul. And it's got, and you're going to do it the hard way. So anyway, that's how Acts 26:18 was being born. This was Paul's commission. It says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, I like that. You know, some people said it's just faith in me. No, there's faith in Jesus, the person. Do you know people have faith in Jesus' doctrines and don't really like Jesus? He's a good moral man. He's a virtual man. There are people who have faith in him dying on the cross but not rising from the dead. There are people who say that he rose from the dead and he's gone and he's not come back. Now, I just want you to hear how idiotic some of this sounds. If we are talking about the word Christian, come on, roll with me on this. If we're using the word Christian, obviously Christ succeeded because Christian was not used and Christians did not exist before Pentecost. They didn't exist even for the 40 days or 50 days it took Jesus to come back. And so disciples of Christ didn't exist. It blows my mind. I'm saying, but there's something happened that would etch a people that were not born to a physical nation, not well, nation, we are a nation, but a literal nation. Something etched them, brought them together, and keeps begetting them. And it's that something that distinguishes us. So Jesus is saying to his apostles, the first thing an apostle is supposed to give you is awesome revelation from God's continuum, from what God has been saying. So if your pastor or leader became an apostle and still doing the same sermons and the same whatever, there's some growth that needed there. So there needs to be that other baptism that hasn't happened. Because you are supposed to get enough revelation from me to want to leave the dark side. I'm supposed to make this make so much sense to you and to make it so persuasive and so convincing that if you're called, you leave the dark side. That's my duty. See, God has duties, and then he gave some of them to us. All ministries are part of God's duty distributed to his body. And then it said to turn the, okay, so I'm supposed to open your eyes. I want to make you leave the dark side and bring you out from under the power of Satan. You're going to realize that it's killing you. Slow death, sweet death, sugar death, drug death, doesn't matter. You're still dying. So that's the second thing. And then I'm supposed to bring you to repentance. So if I'm saying it right, then repentance should follow. So, you know, this come to the altar. Come on, if you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. No, if you repent, because a lot of people believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says devils believe in God. They believe in Jesus. That's not the issue. The issue is you repenting from your sin. You cannot be saved and still struggling with sexual sins. You didn't repent. You don't understand salvation. Well, they said, take time to clean. Yeah, and you're going to have fun along the way. Come on, somebody, come and get saved. If you believe, really repent it, because when you repent of something, you don't do it again. It's not a matter of not doing it because somebody said. When you realize the danger, the damage, and the offensiveness of something, you don't do it. You broke somebody's heart. You lied to someone. You stole something. You did something you're so ashamed of. You hope God never lets you get out. And you cease doing it. That's what repentance is. You don't repent because you're terrified of going to hell. You repent because you understand that you deserve hell. Oh, hallelujah. I know we don't teach heaven and hell, but stay with Paula Price. We're going to have a whole reintroduction to heaven and hell because we need it. Because if this is all life is, then we're worse than the people who believe this is heaven or hell. Lastly, an inheritance. You will only get your inheritance if you're sanctified. That's what he's saying. And you're only sanctified by faith that is in me. What faith? The same faith that made Jesus say no to Satan, no to hell, no to sin, no to dirt, no to garbage, no to whores, no to homos and all of that. That same faith is what you got to have to get your inheritance. And when you get your book and we start going through the book, you're going to understand why that's important. It's not about, wow, he just doesn't want me to have sex. Well, you know, she's just preaching hard. Yeah, I do preach hard. You know why? Because when we stand together on the other side of this life, you're going to want to kick my behind because I lied. And a lot of preachers are going to get an afterlife butt whooping from the folk that have to go to hell with them. That's the word of the Lord. That's a prophecy. Amen. So apostles move you from the old to the new, from outer court to inner court, from discipleship to sonship, from flesh to spirit, hallelujah, from the spirit of this world to the spirit of Christ. I know I've got some of y'all kind of stuck on what I just said, but when you read what's going to happen to Satan when he gets to hell, it said all those people that he put in hell rose up to whoop his behind. He's got a mighty butt whooping waiting for him when this is all over. And they'll say, oh, so you knew all of this? You thought you were the greatest this and that? And look at us. You promised us we were going to have all of this. And where we sitting in this little salt pit, sulfur pit, can't move out? Oh, yeah, we're going to get you. Because he won't have power there. Not the way he even thinks it. He's deceived himself. He said the kings of the earth will rise up to meet him, all the kings that he sent there. And so you're the one that caused us to sell our right? So there are a lot, and trust me, he's going to have a lot of folks. And a lot of these folks here that are telling you this stuff, well, I just don't happen to be. It doesn't make a difference what they believe. God left the Holy Spirit in the planet because he wasn't trusting human belief. So the Holy Spirit is there to tell you what the truth is if you want it. And I want you to understand all that they're telling you about, we're going to have parties down there. It's going to be really great. We're going to have all the booze we want, all the women we want, all the men we want. We're going to have the 9 million virgins. Trust me, that's not what's there. That is not what's there. And you need to make sure that you want to be bullied for the rest of your eternity because you listened to somebody who couldn't believe and defined your faith for you. Your faith is a personal faith. And Jesus said you have to be sanctified by faith that is in him. Apostolics. Because, see, I didn't get this from the pastor's book of sermons. I got this from the apostles. Apostles' doctrine. I didn't get this from the evangelical missionary work. I didn't get that. Now, we need them. I'm not knocking them. Bless the Lord. I was a pastor. Thank God for pastors. I offer up a prayer for pastors all the time because anybody could do that. Bless you. But you need to do it in a way that the sheep go up and not down. So what a true apostleship is going to, first of all, impose upon you a separation, and then through education they're going to transform you because, see, separation is going to be by revelation. When you realize that these issues that you're facing, you are just the instrument that they are assaulting your Savior every day and that Jesus is getting a lousy return for his pay, his blood, you will change. And then education that will transform you, oh, hallelujah. And then the transformation that sanctifies you. When you're sanctified, then you're ready to go into God's next world. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Is it good? Come on. Come on. Act like you love me now. You now have to help the saints. I'm going to skip on because I'm going to go to something else. It's important. This is a class. This is my class and your you know, not going to get the class. Okay, so about, oh, this is really good. Ready? I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. Okay, apostleship in effect exemplifies the efficiency. Now, this is important. Exemplify the officiations of, number one, kingship. You cannot be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and just be stuck on his kingdom. You've got to wrap your head around his kingship. Jesus is a king. He was a king before he became a savior. I want you to write that down because we think that when God became, Jesus thinks, you know, he wasn't in existence. We don't know what he was doing in eternity. No, Jesus was Yahweh. Now, it says it in your Bible. When you read it, it says that in 1 Corinthians 10, it tells you that rock was Christ. The Baal Peor issue was Yahweh, that was Jesus. When all of those people that died, that was Jesus. And so Jesus was a king before he became a savior. That means his sovereignty takes precedence over all else. That is why he sent his apostles to preach the kingdom of God, which is why he said this gospel of the kingdom, not the cross, the kingdom. The cross is part of kingdom doctrine, but it's not the core of it. So Jesus, bless his holy name, you sugar pie, was a king first. He was born a king. That's why when he came to earth, those devils knew he was king. They also knew who he was. They weren't quite sure why he was here, which, you know, kind of played out. But if you are an apostle or you're called to be an apostle, you need to understand Jesus Christ is king. Now, they call him David, like Revelation 3. He says he has the key of David. We talked about that coming forward from Isaiah 22:22. Well, actually, 22 all the way through. It's a great chapter. You'll love it. It also explains a few other things, but Jesus is king. His kingship is important. Why am I saying it? Tell me, why do you keep saying that, Dr. Christ? Because he's not going to allow himself to be dethroned as king. Kings do not think like other folks. Kings think very differently. I love the fact that we're all walking around passionate about being kings and priests. I've not met anybody with the mind of a king. All these people run right here talking about, I'm a king. No, no, no. Kings don't give up. Kings don't sell. They don't. I'm telling you, kings have a whole different attitude. And we don't. We're okay with God losing. We're okay with God losing sheep. We're okay with him losing churches. We're okay with him losing lives. We're okay with the gates of hell overrunning his kingdom. We're okay with that. Not a king. Not a king. A king has a problem with other kings encroaching on their territory and taking over. That's king doctrine. We won't preach the kingdom of God. That's what king doctrine is. Kingship is not about, we're not material kings, well, because we have a lot of money or anything. We are kings, and the only reason that we have that title is because we are born again from the Godhead, not because we're doing such a great job at it. So kings call apostles, unless you're a secondary apostle, at which point your church makes you an apostle. But that's a class. That's not this class, but it was free. Priesthood, second thing, kings and priests unto our God. Priesthood, kings have got to serve the God that puts them in power. We are of the priesthood of Melchizedek. We're not of the Aaronic priesthood. We're not of the Levitical priesthood. We are of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Now, why is that important, Dr. Price? I got to get a lot out in a few minutes, but why is that important? It's important because it's the priesthood that operates from heaven down. Melchizedek is a heavenly priesthood. Oh, yeah. So you cannot be a priest to a king and not know how to keep that king in power. I'm going to say that again. You cannot be a priest to a king and not know how to keep that king in power. And we don't know how to keep Jesus in power. Shame on us. Talking about we royalties, we the king's kid. We don't believe there's an inheritance in this. Because let me tell you something, the kids of real kings are not trying to lose their inheritance. They're not trying to lose their control. They're not trying to lose their realm. See, we have a lot to learn if we're going to teach this thing the way it should be taught. Kings do not give up ground easily. All the apostles we got out here in this country, just this one, and God's got them all over the planet, and we lost this nation? Oh, no, those weren't kings, because kings don't give up like that. Priest has to win the favor of the God in order to get the power from the God they need to rule, to do their job. And then, divine governance. In God, Jesus was king. He did not come to earth, not a king. He just did it. That's why they brought him gifts when he was born, because a king was born. Oh, come on, somebody. The cross made him a savior. Gethsemane made him a sinner. The cross made him a savior. The grave made him a warrior. And he went back home. See, whole different story. The soul winning thing is nice, but that's the most elementary thing. divine government. So when Jesus came, he came to extend heaven's government into the earth realm, not just in the earth realm, because the Ten Commandments brought the government into the earth realm because it brought it to a single nation, but he came to spread it to all nations because God's goal was all nations, which is why he said, go disciple nations. Oh, somebody. This is good. You know it's good. Yes? Yes? Amen. So God's governance was set before we were born. This whole idea of we telling people it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that and it's okay to do this, that, no, no, God's governance was born. Jesus brought the government of God to the planet. First he sent it on a rock, and then he brought it in his body. And then he spread it by his spirit. But it's the same government. It's because there's only one way to live, God's way. And there's only one way to die, Satan's way. That's it. And whether we like it or not, that's how it goes. So government is key to apostleship, is key to the apostolic, is key to the kingdom. For apostles to walk around talking about this and that is legalistic is crazy. You know, I did a study on you. I love talking about this. Now, come on, apostolic Christians, because we're going to have a few more minutes, so let me have fun. I did a study because I kept saying, but God, Paul is quoting the Ten Commandments. So I understand that. And Paul in Romans 7, he said that the law is good and the law is spiritual and it's holy and it's to give life. So why are we, the church, condemning the law? I couldn't get it. See, I realized then God had to teach me. No, he said, it's the rituals. I altered the rituals. But this law is how we live in heaven. It's how we live forever. He said in Ezekiel that he calls them statutes of life. Everything that God tells you is not about how to die. It's not even about how to keep from dying. It's how to leave death and enter his life and how to live there forever. It's all about perspective. All about perspective. So God's law predates everything. So we can't tell you this is okay. We cannot tell you that even though the country's votes that this is okay, all they can do is keep you, is legitimize your death while you're here. After you leave this body, they got no say over that. It becomes God's decision. And this whole idea of what I do in the flesh won't affect me in the spirit is nonsense. The idea for what you do in the flesh did not come from your members. It came from your heart and your mind. And they travel. Is that all right? Okay. So let's look back at the screen. Jesus, as David's kingly line, as the line of Judah, Melchizedek's eternal priesthood of divine offspring. Now, it's important that we catch why it's necessary. You know, Moses' law created the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. But Abraham's priesthood was Melchizedek, because who met him? So Abraham had the unchangeable priesthood. He had the one from heaven. That's why all he had to do was just give him a sign. Okay, well, all we want you to do is just do this circumcision. Everything else would be all right. Now, you know, you hear people say, I want you to back up because, you know, I want you to know I subscribe to the smart God. When you hear me, you're going to hear from the smart God. We don't teach the dumb God here. We don't teach dummy God. We teach the smart God, the all-wise God, the all-knowing God. And I know that even if this is not making sense to your brain, it's flooding your spirit with his life. It's flooding your spirit with his life. And here's how God does it. God floods your spirit because the Bible says, hear me, people, because I'm going to tell you how your hierarchy is. See, the divine hierarchy of your creation works like this. Wisdom, knowledge hits your mind. Wisdom starts in your heart. So wisdom goes into your heart, and it scripts its wisdom. It scripts its intelligence. It scripts its information in your sentiments, in your emotions. And then those emotions join your hormones, move to your intelligence, move to your brain, and your intelligence carries it so that it begins to write itself in your natural mind. But it starts in your heart. Wisdom starts in your heart, people, not just preaching and enthusiasm. Your heart is not just an effervescent chamber. Wisdom, it's a vault of God's wisdom, God's knowledge. And then what happens is he puts it in your heart, and then you know what he does? When you go to sleep, he begins to paint it and scripture it in your language. God decodes things, but if it never hits your heart, it'll never get to your head. So you sit with me, and you hang with me, and you continue to listen, because that's how you got your degree in college. That is how you got that job. That is how you got your promotion. That's how you passed your certification. So don't give God less of your effort than you would give to the world of darkness. I'm telling you that this is working in your soul. And you're going, and listen, today is wonderful. I get to say it once. You get to hear it 500 times. Isn't that marvelous? Great, wonderful stuff. So you just keep listening. Do not let the spirit that wants you to stay dark in Christ tell you that you aren't getting this. You're going to use the same faith that you can use to keep from getting fired. You're going to use that same faith to fix this in your being. I just believe this is God. I know it's the word of God. God, I just thank you for opening up my understanding. I thank you for giving me enlightenment. I'm not letting this go. This is the word of my salvation. This is for me to understand my God. How dare me not want to understand my God? Charge yourself. Don't indulge yourself. Charge yourself. Make that thing come on up. You got faith for everything else. Make your soul come up to task. Make it come up to the level. Anybody hearing me out there? Y'all hearing me? Because it's important that you recognize that there is a big, big game against you getting truth. Because all this world is based on a lie, so truth is scary. Some of you all, your heart is palpitating right now. Boom, 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 boom. I don't understand. I feel something. Ain't nothing but your devils. None but your devils. It's not your blood pressure. You're not having a heart attack. You're fine. It's just your devils. They didn't got scared. And sometimes the fear that you feel, you think it's your fear. It's not. Wasn't that good? Come on, encourage me. And write me some good stuff, too. Don't be writing me crazy. Write me some good stuff. I need to hear good stuff from the good saints of God. Hallelujah. Good stuff. He's a sugar pie. Yes, he is. And you know what, Paul Price, on love on Jesus Christ. Do you know, I'm glad my name is Price. I get a chance to rhyme with him. Isn't it great? Paul Price, on love on Jesus Christ. Forever, amen. Hallelujah. Biblical apostleship, in effect, is about Christ, salvation, and redemption. The Godhead's sovereignty. Can you see it on the screen? The Lord Jesus, heaven to earth commission. Christ, salvation, and redemption. The Godhead's sovereignty. It has to be about his sovereignty because they were sovereign before they were saviors. You got to get that. Because apostles are going to bring you into the sovereignty of God because it's a sovereign king that is coming to get you when you leave this world. And it's a sovereign kingdom that you will live in. And in Jesus' world, he has no problem. Nobody says no to him in his world. The privilege of being born dark is that you get a chance to say no to him and live through it. You get a chance to tell God no and live. In God's world, they don't tell him no. In God's world, nobody said, I don't know who Jesus thinks he is. The one person who did doesn't live there any longer. I don't know who died and made him king. Well, that person died, and they're out. The last thing is Jesus' heaven to earth commission. God wanted a lot of children. That's what he wants. He's a family man. He loves family. He loves children. I'm telling you, he loves us loving on him. He loves communion. Like all of these churches that gave up communion, do you know that breaks God's heart? God loves communion. I'm telling you he does. If your church doesn't do communion, get you a communion set yourself and do it yourself in your house with Jesus, and I'll bet you'll show up. I went to a church to stop doing it. That's all right. I went to church because I do believe in going to church before I had my own. And then I came home and took my own communion. I went to another church. I know they give me some stupid grapes. I'm like, when I want punch, I don't want a grape. I want you to already process my grape. And so I came home, and I made my own communion. You don't need a church to tell you how to do communion. You can come home yourself. If they don't want to do it, trust me, because if your church stops communion, it's because they're not communion. Prophet Ashley.
Wow. I'm sorry, I was caught up.
I'm sorry.
Powerful message tonight. Once again, here, let's get out. Can you get out? I do. I wanted to announce it. So I have a few announcements for everybody. One question that I saw floating across the screen. We are here Tuesday night for at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Apostleship. Thursday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on The Prophetic. And every Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, 2 hours, The Paula Price Show. You get an exhortation, the opportunity for personal prayer and ministry from Dr. Price. Now, look, there are a lot of prophets and apostles online right now. Hi, love you. Hallelujah.
That's the love on them.
And they love it. Yeah, you have to love on
them. But they're my team. Hey, they're my team. Come on. We got the love on the team.
Yes, we do. We do love you. And we want to see you here in June.
Oh, that's right.
Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute is in June where you get to meet this lady right here.
In the flesh.
She is going to teach her heart out to us. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get online tonight. Go to www.drpaulaaprice.com. Check out the event. Make it your business to be here in June. I'm just going to jump ahead for our this announcement. Oh, where are we at? All right. We have, Dr. Price was talking about the product of the night. The product of the night is, what is the image of apostleship? It's $10, available online. You can go to www.drpaulaaprice.com and get to our e-store from there. If you sign up for our mailing list, you will also automatically get a link to purchase it, and it will be on Facebook tonight after the show. Prophet Adia is our marketing mogul, and she's making it happen. We don't want you to miss it. You got to get juiced up for the ABCs of Apostleship, too. And so there's that announcement. We already talked about our schedule, Dr. Price. Let's see what's happened here. What's going on in your world?
We have a couple of things.
All right. You can take an assessment. Figure out who you are in the body of Christ, which fold of the five you belong in, how ready you are, what you need to do to get prepared, or you can have a new prophetic advisement. We have prophetic advisements on demand. Our schedule is filling up with people who need to know, how do I advance in my career? What do I need to do to get out of this situation? How about when should I go back to school? Whatever the case may be, we are prepared to work with you in that because, well, we learn from the best. That'd be Dr. Price. And, of course, on YouTube, you can find Dr. Price at Yuki and the Paula Price Show in the search. Now, bring that camera back over here to my face, Minister Noma. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, tonight, what you heard was like a pass the plate message. If we were in church, we say somebody needs to pass the plate on that. So you need to pass the plate, go on to Dr. Price's website, and sow a seed into this ministry. We want it to grow. We want to be on television. It is a venture that we have been pressing for, and it's going to take you to help us to do that. But we want to bless the woman of God personally because she is taking time out to pour out this wisdom. She never shortchanges us. Trust me. I work with her every day, and she is in the computer every day, getting these slides together every single week. Never shoots from the hip, ever, ever, ever. So sow into that because it is so worth it. And on that, I am done.
She's done early, folks, so you know I'm excited. She's done early. So remember, the book comes out. When are we going to buy the book?
This week. Yes,
so it's
going to
be up.
The e-book. Yes.
So then is there some sort of pre-order or something?
No.
Or?
They will be notified when it is available online.
Online. And,
yes.
And, you know, I've written a lot of books and enjoyed every one, but this one I think is one of the most precious ones I've written because you can teach your folks. Now, take your time with it. Take your time with it because the church does not know God apostolically. The church does not even know him prophetically, so you have to take your time and walk them through it. On our site, don't we have other apostolic teachings of this, too?
Absolutely. If you go to Dr. Price's e-store from drpaulaaprice.com, you can click on the button that says Shop the Product, and you can go to the section that is marked Apostolic or Apostleship and go right there, surf around, but don't just surf. Click, download, pay, get your materials. Most of our materials are downloadable, so you will get them almost immediately. Follow the steps to receive your download, and you're good to go.
All right. Well, I've done my part for tonight. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget, we get back together here Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time for the Paula Price Show. You don't want to miss it. And then again, 8 p.m. Thursday night Central Time for Prophetic Ed. You're going to love this week because we are going to dig into some hot buttons that are in the body of Christ today. Some of you all have wanted me to address them. I just don't jump in every fight, but I do train you to fight. Join me on Thursday night for Prophetic Ed. Until then, thank you. I love you all dearly. God bless you. And good night.